Once again, I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday evening worship service. This morning we started the first of a two-part lesson on spiritual sickness. For those who are not here this morning, you'll get a taste as we kind of zip through the slides. For those of you who were here this morning, you just kind of sit back to Matt and Coast for at least a few minutes. Spiritual sickness. So this morning we observed that within the Bible, Jesus' parables in general, a very valuable teaching tool. We recognize that people today are very common with medical practices from a variety of sources. And medical practices, doctors, physicians, sickness, medicines, are not a modern invention. New Testament times, Old Testament times, and a number of verses that you can see on the board flashing by relatively quickly, both Old Testament and New Testament. One of note, which we paused on this morning, Jesus talks about actual physical physicians and those who are sick. Of course, he's making a spiritual application, to himself as the great physician, if you will. Continuing on, others in the New Testament, and again, a spiritual application about weakness and being sick from a spiritual perspective. And so we talked about wanting to portray a number of various medical scenarios, medical parables, if you will, situations, try to use them to illustrate some spiritual points, since most of the medical ones you can look at and go, oh yeah, that's obvious, and hopefully from that be able to make the spiritual application equally as obvious. So we talked about a scenario where people, tend to ignore sickness, and we have that in the spiritual sense of tending to, deny any sort of, spiritual problem, deny God, deny there's such a thing as sin. Deny that, I don't sin. I'm a relatively good guy, morality-wise, etc. We went into a second scenario, which is often just the opposite, of people that are somewhat overly concerned about things they don't need to be, and made spiritual application about lack of confidence, lack of faith in God, and all the wonderful things and blessings that God has given us, and the forgiveness of sins we enjoy, etc. We went on to do another scenario about the dangers of kind of ignoring trends and drifting, not only in a physical illness perspective, but also, and for our purposes, more importantly, in a spiritual sin, drift into worldliness, etc. We talk about people who, begin to realize, they've got a problem, and they get all kinds of different advice, but not from professionals, and we see that within the religious world as well, tending to default to whatever religion mom and dad had, or perhaps what's popular, or the nearest church building to their house, whatever the case may be, as opposed to going to God's Word, the truth of God's Word. We looked at a scenario where the person finally does indeed go to a doctor, and the doctor starts reaching out for non-medical things, and we go, well, that's kind of silly. But we see it when people go to various other man-made sources of religious advice and a religious diagnosis, if you will, and had a couple graphics to kind of drive that point home. And the dangers of, promoting, doctrines of men, traditions of men, etc. Another scenario where the doctor says, okay, well, we don't really run a bunch of extensive stuff. I've got some, relatively simple, kind of quick and easy kind of pills. You'll feel better in no time. Patient doesn't. And we kind of made a parallel with, various quick and easy, quote-unquote, approaches to salvation. Faith only being one of those. Noted Matthew 7, talked about the wide and narrow gates and the constrained ways. Went on to kind of give a nuance of that where the patient says, well, my head hurts. And says, oh, okay, I understand that sick symptom. I recognize that symptom. I prescribe aspirin for that symptom. And, of course, we realize that, some people do get periods or feelings of spiritual discomfort or conscience bothering them, etc., but may encounter people that say, don't worry about it. God's merciful, God's forgiving, God's grace, and after all, you're only human, and kind of treat the symptom, if you will, of the discomfort, but not the root cause. Talked about another scenario where, yes, indeed, there's a patient still in the doctor's office, and the doctor says, well, you're really just fine. I mean, after all, you've always been pretty healthy, and you always will. Don't worry about it. And we liken that to the doctrine or perspective that's sometimes called once saved, always saved. You've been, quote-unquote, saved. You don't have to worry about it. Been saved before. Or be saved in the future. Yeah, don't worry about any sort of, you know, sin currently. That doesn't work. Moving on. Doctor wants to run some tests. Hey, that starts to sound good, but the patient starts to balk. It may take time. It may hurt. It may cost money. And we notice that there, some people may have kind of an unwillingness to kind of expose themselves to the light of the scriptures, to, you know, to do a detailed spiritual exam because, you know, it may hurt. It may take time. It may cost money, etc. We notice another scenario where, okay, we've gone and run the tests now, and the doctor compares them with the typical baseline and comes out with a conclusion and says, well, you know, overall, their test results say you're relatively healthy or healthier than most people. You must be okay. Now, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense in the spiritual realm as well. You know, using the wrong measure, measuring themselves by themselves or comparing with someone else. And, of course, we always pick the lower life, so to speak, you know, person, the one in the gutter, the alcoholic or the abuser or whatever, to compare ourselves with, because after all, we look pretty good compared to them. You know, scriptures say we're not supposed to do that kind of comparison, not wrong kind of measure. And then we talked about patient complains of pain in a certain area, in this particular case in the knees, and the doctor does go off and run some good tests. His brain, his throat, chest, arms, fingers. And says, hey, good news, the test we did came back all negative. Weren't looking at the specifics. It's kind of a variant of the previous one. And we kind of use that to talk about the need for a complete, if you will, spiritual examination. All the way from the very beginnings, you know, plan of salvation, different attitudinal things, different things in terms of how we spend our time and our money and our effort, things which sometimes typify, if you will, worldliness, you know, like the way we dress or the way we talk or the entertainment that entertains us, you know, attendance, concern for the lost, and such like. We did note that we updated the website with the quote-unquote self-assessment that we did, you know, like 3 years ago. So now you can get to it under Lessons, Christian Living, Self-Assessment, both the sermon and the aid. And I mentioned this morning, and I'll mention one more time, you know, it's not meant to be comprehensive. You know, it's not a, you know, get a 90% and you'll be saved. Not meant to be that at all. It's more of a sampling of various areas, particularly sins of omission and areas of growth. That was part one. On to part two. Okay, everybody else wake up. Scenario number 10. B. Okay, the patient was complaining of knee pain. Remember, one of the previous ones. The doctor starts to reach for the leg, and the patient says, whoa, stop that. Don't do that. It hurts. A lot of people, for instance, going to the dentist, which is where I got the picture from, you know, they avoid going to the dentist because they know it'll hurt. Right? Not uncommon. Is there a spiritual application there? Well, I think so. There are some spiritual situations that can be, you know, to be blunt about it, painful to deal with. You know, embarrassing kinds of sins or habitual behaviors or really some deep-seated attitudes that we've had for years. You know, close personal relationships. You know, you can add your own thoughts there. I mean, you know, we can examine ourselves in, you know, this area or that area or, you pick the net area and be fairly comfortable in examining ourselves in that area. But, you know, you start to shine the spotlight, if you will, of God's Word, you know, over into that corner. It's like, I don't know if I want to go there. I want to avoid that. Okay, that's a red flag, right? Heads up, something's wrong there. Scenario number 11. Okay, now things are going to be serious, or starting to get even more serious. Okay, patients come in. Doctors run the tests. Tests come back. And a good set of tests. Okay. Sorry, Mr. Jones. You know, you have a serious illness. Can only be addressed with, let us call it, aggressive treatment. Now, you hear that word, aggressive treatment? If your mind kind of starts thinking in terms of like cancer, like chemotherapy and radiation therapy and surgery and other kinds of, you know, really aggressive kind of thing, bone marrow transplants, whatever. It's like, yeah, we are talking, you know, life-threatening kinds of things. And the patient kind of glibly responds, nah, that's just your opinion. Or, no, thanks, I'll just go ahead and live with it. Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. Spiritual application? Well, sure. You know, yeah, you know, we've shown the light into perhaps, you know, painful areas or whatever, but not really willing to take the treatment when they need to. Life-threatening, right? Luke 14, verses 25 through 33, I just kind of picked up some little key phrases in here. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, etc., of course, more than me, does not bear his cross, we talked about that a few weeks ago, does not count the cost, etc. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. I mean, we're talking very radical treatment. It's needed. But some people go, no, that's just your opinion. That's just your interpretation. No, I'm fine the way I am. No, don't want to go there. Okay, so we have application there. Let's go to scenario 12. Same scenario as before. We need to take care of this right away, Mr. Jones. He says, well, okay, that sounds pretty serious. And let me go off and think about it. Let me go off and think about it. And he doesn't. Okay. You know, a sense or a lack of a sense of spiritual urgency. You know, Acts 24, 25 comes to mind. You know, Felix, excellent example of that. You know, go away for now, talking to Paul. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. Well, scriptures don't indicate what happened afterwards. The probability was he did. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You have a sense of urgency. This is something we need to do now. Not maybe at some point in the future, once I've had my fun, or once I settle down, or once I'm done sowing my wild oats. You know, fill in the blank. You know, urgency is needed. Okay? Scenario 13. Oh, by the way, I should have mentioned, we got about 24 to go through. Okay, so I'm kind of going through these relatively quickly. Similar scenario. Doctor says ongoing, you know, aggressive treatment for the rest of your life. Patient says, okay, fine. We'll do it. And it starts to work. Hey, that's good news, right? Now, notice what the doctor said. Ongoing treatment for the rest of your life. Patient starts to feel better. What does he do? Hey, I feel pretty good. I'm going to stop taking that, whatever that is. You know, doesn't make sense, does it? You know, given the condition, you may feel better, but you know, if you stop taking the treatment, you know, you're not doing what you need to be doing. And you know, there's a number of, you know, scenarios like that, and it's like, okay, so pick a scenario. Diabetic. Okay. Now that I'm on, you know, this treatment with insulin, whatever, hey, I feel pretty good. I guess I don't need my shots anymore. Wrong answer. Particularly if it's, you know, ongoing kind of thing, which in most cases it is. Okay. How about is there a parallel? Well, maybe being content with the status quo, you know, after having, you know, become a Christian, had your sins forgiven, been a Christian for a while, hey, got rid of all that initial, you know, guilt through repentance and whatever, and hey, I'm doing better now. I'm feeling much better. Life is good. But, man, it feels bad. I'm going to start, you know, slacking off on the treatment. No. 1 Corinthians 10, 12, prior to 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Again, kind of tied back into the once saved, always saved problem. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. If you kind of reach a little bit further down into the passage, Paul speaking. Reaching forward to those things that are ahead. Press toward the goal. It's an ongoing thing. It requires treatment for the rest of your life. Not a once and done. Not a partial done. Feel good. Slack off. No, not that. Let's go number 14. Okay, so we have a patient undergoing therapy. Yay, good news. Now, we run into a little problem here. Because he looks around and he sees there are other people that have a similar kind of problem. But they're not going through the treatment he is. The treatment they seem to be going through is like less aggressive, less intensive. It's somewhat cheaper. It takes less time. It takes less commitment. Or whatever. And he said, hey, you know, I like some of that. Now, compared with what I'm doing, okay, I'm going to switch over. Now, does he talk to his doctor? No. Oops. Does that make sense? That doesn't make sense. Because he may not really have a good idea what these other patients are being treated for. And B, maybe they have something similar, but maybe they're not taking the right treatment. Okay? What can I say? Spiritual application. Sometimes people start to compromise the truth. Fill in the blank. Personal convenience, or to achieve some sense of unity within the family, or compromise to get some sense of unity within the church, or whatever, and kind of change tracks. Yeah, here's a treatment. I've been told. I understand it. I believe it. I accept it. I'm going to do it. Man, wait a minute. What about those people over there? That seems to be not quite as harsh, not quite as limited, not kind of as constraining. It's like, I think I like that treatment better. I'm going to go over there. Hold on. Matthew 7:14. Difficult is the way that leads to life. 1 Corinthians 1:10 and following. You know, no division, speak the same thing. Galatians 1:7. Talk about those who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So, again, a warning about switching treatments, so to speak. Scenario 15. Okay, still undergoing treatment. Now, in this particular case, this treatment, and I don't know quite how you want to phrase it, but there's some things the person has to do that kind of expose himself to, I don't know what you want to call it. It's unusual. It's kind of potential ridicule, name-calling. It's kind of odd. I mean, I can't relate a lot to this, generally speaking, but I do remember as a kid growing up, like kids today, wore braces, right? Okay, I had braces. At the time, the treatment was to wear something here and around your head, around the back of your neck. Now, if you're old school, you might remember that, right? Very visible, a lot of hardware, not quite like today. And, you're weird. You stick out. Kids may make fun of you, etc. And in this particular case, the patient goes, well, I don't know, this is kind of embarrassing. I don't want people pointing at me. I don't want to stick out. I want to fit in. And so he stops the treatment. Again, remember, life-threatening from before. Spiritual application. Well, there you go. Peer pressure. Yielding to peer pressure. Yielding to persecution. Matthew 13, parable of the sower, particularly the stony ground, receives the word, endures for a while, but tribulation or persecution, he stumbles. He stops treatment. And as we'll kind of see when we wrap stuff up, again, we're talking about ongoing, life-going treatment required. Number 16. Okay, similar story, patient undergoing treatment. Now, in this particular case, well, we got some competing things. So the patient's a busy person and has other kind of commitments, vying for his time, and starts to miss, so to speak. Start missing treatments, take partial treatments, whatever. Because of, time pressure, commitment pressure, family pressure, work pressure, you name it. Is there a spiritual parallel? Well, yeah, I think we can see one. In the failure to give spiritual activities the right priority. Again, back to the parable of the sower, Matthew 13. Receiving the seed among thorns. You hear the word. Good. Cares of the world. Deceitfulness of riches. Choke out the word. Becomes unfruitful. Not a good scenario. Number 17. Okay. Still undergoing treatment. But, admittedly, medical treatment. Some medical treatment, it's hard. And it's prolonged. And it's painful. And it just drags you down and wears you out. And you get so discouraged. Certainly can get discouraged. Because you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And you go, okay, too much. I'm just fed up too much. Stop. Don't want to go on. Spiritual parallel? Well, yeah, long-term persistence. We're talking about a lifelong battle, lifelong commitment, lifelong treatment, if you will, to blend the metaphor together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, not grow weary, not lose heart. James 1, 12, enduring temptation, receive the crown of life, as promised. And we, you know, we see people do this, and, you know, unless we're careful, you know, we do it too. Because, you know, compared with, I mean, let's be frank, compared with most religious denominations, compared with most people in the world, you know, the kind of teaching we believe the Bible teaches that we need to do are pretty, what's the word, restrictive? Now, in many ways restrictive in a good sense because they keep us out of trouble. Okay, fine. But still, I mean, this is for the long haul, and it can kind of grind on you. Got to watch out for that. Okay. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. Again, not become sluggish. Imitate those who faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, as I sometimes say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Now, we're mixing metaphors there, but you know, it's a long duration commitment. Long duration. Okay. Scenario 18. I've actually physically, personally experienced this one. Okay, so patient's undergoing treatment. Yay! Now, he looks around and he sees other patients, some of them doing the same treatment for the same illness. Some of them are starting to skip treatment. Some of them are not following the doctor's orders. Some of them are lying to the doctor. I mean, you know, you name it. And he says, you know, that is so bad. They're a bunch of hypocrites. And I'm going to stop treatment. What? Tilt. Doesn't make sense, right? Have you heard of that, about that in the church?
Oh, yeah.
And it makes as much sense. Really? Doesn't make sense at all. Yes, there are hypocrites. Yes, there are hypocrites in the church. And yes, they should be dealt with. But is that a reason to abandon our own faith? Actually ran into this personally. And the person said, yeah, I can basically stop going because, yeah, there were some hypocrites in the church. And I scratch my head and go, doesn't make sense. I found this quote on the internet. I would rather be known in life as an honest sinner than a lying hypocrite. Rather be known in life as an honest sinner rather than a lying hypocrite. Well, okay, well, I can't say okay. It's not okay. But, you know, we're both going to win. Where are both going to wind up? For eternity. Same place. It doesn't make sense. And yet I know people that go down this path. Makes no sense. Scenario number 19. Okay, undergoing treatment. Similar to the priest. And you can read it. You know, he's in the doctor's room, as he often is. And he gets into this argument with some other patient. Don't know what, you know, underlying whatever was, but for whatever reason, you know, he gets upset. He has his feelings hurt. And, you know, he vowed, I'm never going back to that doctor's office again. What? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. Spiritual? Well, yeah, and we've seen that one too with, you know, spiritual disagreements. You know, brothers get together. And, you know, argue, you know, they get into some discussion, argue, and before you know it, they're, you know, verbally coming to blows, and, you know, they're splitting apart and going their separate ways. Name calling, I mean, whatever, ugly. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about dealing with matters involving, or with love, quote unquote, agape, self-sacrificing. You know, Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, talk about, you know, scriptural processes for dealing with letter. That sometimes are not handled. Okay? And people get upset and people get their feelings hurt, and, you know, I'm out that door and I'm never coming back. I'm going to go join the Baptists, or I'm going to go join the whatever, some denomination, whatever. It happens. I know. It happened in my family. It happens. Doesn't make sense, does it? No. Unfortunately, it doesn't. Scenario number 20. Okay. This is a good one. All of these have been like, bad scenarios, negative scenarios, can't understand that thinking scenarios. Okay, here's a good one. Undergoing extensive, painful treatment, the patient experiences an improved state of health. Hey! In our and I might also add, yes, there are occasional relapses. And yes, it requires ongoing treatment. But hey, the patient continues to make progress, expect to live a full and productive life. Right? What do we call those kind of people? Well, any number of different names, terms come to mind. You know, survivor, hero. I mean, there are, you know, movies that are made, you know, based on a true story of, you know, people that go through, you know, this kind of pain and hardship and have the determination, the grit, and the persistence to see it all the way through. And we applaud that, don't we? In a physical medical sense. And for people that have that kind of courage and stick-to-itiveness and grit to, you know, see it through, regardless, right? Heroes. Similar, same in a spiritual sense. Here's another positive scenario. Okay, based on family history, this particular person does, now look at here, routinely, self-examinations, periodic physicals, regular testing, sort of like in advance, to kind of head off things before they even start. Cool. That's cool. Benjamin Franklin, ounce of prevention, pound of cure. Yeah. You know, a little bit of prevention up front, and avoid all the, you know, you name it, on the back end. That's a good story, too. A good scenario. And, again, spiritual application, routine, self-examination. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. You know, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. You know, examine yourselves. You know, recognize about yourself Jesus Christ in you, unless indeed you fail the test. Again, emphasis of, now, preventative. So, a good scenario. So I'm giving you two good scenarios. I have about 21 and a few variations. All right. Spiritual application. Okay, you guys, most of you saw that this morning. So you can kind of go halfway back to sleep again. Spiritual application. So we've made kind of spiritual applications as we've gone along. Now we want to kind of make some global ones. We can easily see the medical scenarios. Can we see them in a spiritual setting as well? Hopefully we can. And the point I made this morning is, you know, when you boil it all down, we all have a terminal disease. It's called sin. Romans 3:23. All sin and fallen short of the glory of God. If you leave it untreated, we will die. Guaranteed. 100% fatality rate. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? You know, spiritual separation from God. Wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. We're talking very serious business here. Continuing on, Jesus made a parallel. Great physician. So there's a treatment available. Yay, that's good news. At great, tremendous expense to the physician. Right? Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Tremendous personal expense, if you let me use that term. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love toward us. Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, gift of God, eternal life. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered for sins, for the just, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Hooray, there is treatment available. Good news, right? But, the patient has to cooperate. Yeah, no, not quite. The patient has to fully cooperate. John 3:16, believe. Romans 10:9, confess. And believe. Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized. Okay. Detect that as kind of the plan of salvation? Yeah. But that's not the end of it, is it? No. No, it's not. But at least at that point, you can say, aha! 100% remission rate? Yay. Forgiveness of sin? Yay. 100%, all cases. When you follow the pattern, when you do the treatment. That's the good news. More bad news, you have to continue the treatment. Of course, this is like the rest of the plan of salvation plus, or post-baptism plan of salvation, if I could use that term. Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death. 1 John 1:7-9. You know, the need to walk in the light. Okay. If we have sin or a relapse, right? Need to continue the treatment, confess our sins, faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So continued treatment is needed. Because if you don't continue the treatment, guess what? The disease relapses. And again, back to the 100% fatality rate. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? Hebrews 10:26. no longer remains a sacrifice for sin if we go on sinning willfully. And we make personal application. Cameron's reaching for a songbook, which is right. What about you? Of course, I said, you know, the people in the audience that were in the audience this morning or heard this, you know, for those who were not unable to be with us this morning that are here this evening, okay, what about you? Same question. Yeah. And you can kind of tick down through the list. I kind of zipped through these this morning. I'm going to slow down just a little bit. You know, are there symptoms of sin that we have a tendency to ignore? Look the other way. Yeah, I don't want to look in that corner. Yeah, I know my life isn't all that squared away over there, but that's okay. I'm looking somewhere else, so I'll tend to ignore it. Or whatever the case may be, denying we have a problem. Or, you know, I'm a pretty good Christian. I mean, I go to worship services Sunday morning and Sunday evening, Wednesday night. And like we should. And, you know, I tend to dress appropriately because, you know, we're going to worship God. Okay. Okay. Good. But are some other aspects that are like, I don't want to, again, go into those details over there. But, hey, I'm pretty good. Better than the other folks. Watch out for that thinking. You know, looking for relief in all the wrong places. I didn't expand on that one. But, you know, when people's conscience start to bother them, all kinds of places they can go to look for relief. I mean, you know, in a worldly sense, you know, you're talking alcohol and sex and drugs and, you know, et cetera. You know, blaming others, you know, et cetera. Whatever relieves the pain, you know, there's a danger there. There's a danger in settling for the quick and often wrong fix or treatment. You know, we certainly saw that with some of the initial plan of salvation. But, you know, some unwillingness to, quote unquote, count the cost. And it is expensive. The treatment's expensive. The treatment is expensive. Let's see. How far can I go with that statement? Your treatment will cost you... let's try this. Your treatment is going to cost you every dime you have. Every minute you have. Every relationship you have. And you can go on and on and on. And I'm not saying anything at all like a, you know, vow of poverty and giving all your stuff away. Not at all. But in terms of what you do with it, what you can do with it, what you shouldn't do with it, what you should do with your time, what you shouldn't do with your... whatever. You know, it all is involved in paying for the treatment. Right? Isn't it? Yeah. It's not cheap. It costs everything. But the end is good. And likewise, the last one, it's a long-term grind. I don't know what else to tell you. It's a long-term grind. Those of you who've been Christians for a while, you know that. It's a long-term grind. Whether it's school, whether it's work, whether family, whether changing culture, whether the news, evolution, homosexuality, I mean, whatever, name it. You know, it's a long grind. And you know, people can get tired of it and give up. Don't be one of those people. Okay, for those of you who are here this morning, got one more chart. I was going to skip past, but that's okay. We sometimes summarize this all in hymn 338. And there's one little stanza in 338. You know, the great physician is near. Great physician. Sympathizing, Jesus speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. There you go. Spiritual sickness. With a lot of various... parables, if you want to use that term, to kind of illustrate the point. Hopefully you've seen the point. And some of this, for this particular audience, yeah, you guys got this. Generally speaking, you know, this is like a refresher. I mean, hopefully you haven't heard anything that you haven't already heard before, right? But it's like a refresher, or it's an encouragement, or it's a pat on the back, or it's a kick in the rear, or whatever, right? As we kind of wind things up, as we always do, offer the invitation. Anyone who wants to acknowledge the fact that they've got a terminal illness, we'll continue using that analogy, willing to start aggressive treatment, you know, beginning with becoming a Christian. If you've had problems continuing your treatment, and it's, you need some encouragement, right? Because it's a grind, right? Or, yeah, you've skipped part of your treatment and it's been in a public manner and you need to make public acknowledgement of it. Again, sin publicly, etc. If any of those cases happen to apply to you at this time, now's the time. Sense of urgency. Come forward, make your wishes known. We'll try to take care of it as we stand and sing.